servants of God. In other words, people who remain faithful even through the most dire circumstances. But one that certainly comes to mind, maybe more than any of the others, is the man Daniel. He serves as a great example of the faithful servant of God. He came to Babylon when he was a young man, according to Daniel chapter 1. But by the time of his encounter with the lions, he could have easily been 85 or 90 years old. We usually think about Daniel being very young when he met the lions, but it's not necessarily so. He could have been much older. But either way, at this time, the ruler of the land, really of the world, was a man named Darius. He was the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, who was the world empire at the time. And Daniel rose to a position of power and influence, the Bible says, because he possessed an excellent spirit. In Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we have the account of Daniel's excellent spirit. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." It was this excellent spirit that would take him through some very dark days that were ahead. What I want us to notice when we read about Daniel in the lion's den is how similar those days were to the days we live in. Even though we're talking about, 2,500 years or more ago, that time and the culture and the situation and the circumstances and the conditions are in some ways very similar to our country and nation today, our society and our culture. And so we can learn a lot by looking at what Daniel did do and what he did not do in this episode in Daniel chapter 6. So first of all, I want us to focus on the world in which he lived in verses 4 through 9. He lived in a barbaric world. He lived in a cruel world. He lived in a world where life was not highly valued. And I think about our society today. Life is not valued very highly by a lot of people. We see that, number one, in all the abortions that take place in our country. We see that, number two, in all the murders that take place in our country, all the killings that take place. So in some ways, life is not valued very highly in our society either. Well, the excesses of sin were no doubt everywhere around Daniel. Idolatry, immorality, ungodliness. Again, very similar to our country today. Our country is very ungodly and immoral. And our country certainly serves lots of idols. But yet, and this is a big yet, despite his surroundings, Daniel displayed a great character, a stellar character. Even living in a very evil, anti-God world. But where did his motivation come from? It came from the inside. Ours must as well. So we should never say, if conditions were better, I would be a better Christian. So don't blame your Christianity on your surroundings, on your conditions, on the society and culture. Daniel lived and displayed a great godly character in the midst of a very, very evil, ungodly world. He lived under the rule of a very irreligious king. This king loved to have his subjects worship him. Notice verse 6 of Daniel 6. "So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. He wanted that. He loved the fact that these people, his subordinates, his subjects, wanted him to sign a decree that nobody could petition any god but him. So he was a very irreligious king, but he wanted people to worship him. And so he allowed these evil men, and these evil men were jealous of Daniel. See, Daniel had risen. Daniel was a captive, remember? He was captured and taken to Babylon. So these governors and satraps and other rulers were jealous of Daniel because Daniel had risen so high that Darius was even considering putting him right underneath the king. So they knew Daniel, they knew how Daniel worshipped and how he lived and what he did every day, so they wanted to come up with a trap. They wanted to trap Daniel, so they said, this is the way we're going to trap Daniel. We're going to get the king to make a decree. That's what we're going to do. So he allowed, Darius did, he allowed these evil men to use him. That's what he did. This next quote, I think, is a very, very good one, especially for our day and time. Men are responsible for the evil they can prevent as well as the good they can accomplish. I think that's very true. It is our duty to prevent evil just as much as accomplishing good. You know, it's our duty to see justice done, in other words. Well, Daniel's world included a number of enemies. Daniel had lots of enemies. Why did Daniel have enemies? It's very simple. Because he was good. That was it. Daniel had lots of enemies simply because Daniel was good. He was a good person. And you can tell a lot about a person by the people that don't like him. Have you ever noticed that? I have. You can tell a lot about a person. What kind of person he really is, you look at his enemies. You can probably tell more about who doesn't like him than by who likes him. If everybody likes some person, that's probably not a person worth knowing. Daniel had lots of enemies. Lots of people didn't like Daniel. And by looking at his enemies, we can tell that Daniel was a good person. He was a righteous person. So they hated him simply because he was good. You know, the wise man in Proverbs 27 tells us something about this. Be a good verse to memorize. Proverbs 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? See, these people were jealous of Daniel because he was good. And because he had risen so high, because he was good. Remember it said he had an excellent spirit. He was ethical. He was a person of integrity. He was honest. His enemies didn't like it. So just because a person is righteous doesn't mean he won't have enemies, because he will. In Isaiah 59, back a few pages in your Bible, the prophet tells us in verse 15 of Isaiah 59 these words. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The person who departs from evil, in other words, who does good, makes himself a prey. The person who does right, who does justly, who practices righteousness and is good, makes himself a target. That's what the wise man said, makes himself a target. See, that's what Daniel was. Daniel was a target to these people Because he was doing good and he was doing right and he was living acceptably in God's sight. So that made him a target. You know, the world hates those people who are not like them. I mean, Jesus told his disciples that. Turn over to John 15. These are some words that we need to take home with us. John 15. We'll begin in verse 18. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Remember, they're in the upper room at this time. Verse 18 of the 15th chapter of John says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." He says, if you were like the world would love you. But you're not like the world. Matter of fact, you're the opposite of the world. Because of that, the world's going to hate you. They hated Jesus. Jesus didn't blend in. He didn't go along with the crowd. He didn't agree with what the crowd believed. And he spoke out against their beliefs. As a result, the world hated him. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, the world's going to hate you. So that goes back again to, if you don't have people that don't like you, you're probably not living the life of the disciple. Probably not. Something's a little missing in your life somewhere. So Daniel's enemies could determine what he would do by his faith. See, this was their plot. They knew what Daniel would do. They knew Daniel prayed every day. They knew where Daniel prayed every day. They knew what direction Daniel prayed every day. So their plot was based on the fact that Daniel was faithful to his God. They could count on Daniel doing what Daniel always did. They knew he was never going to compromise his worship. They knew that. His enemies knew that. And this is a really significant point. Even his enemies knew he was going to worship. Would our enemies know that about us? Would our enemies know what we would do in any particular situation? The people that don't like us, that aren't fond of us, that aren't our friends, would they know what we would do in certain circumstances? Would they know what we would be doing on Sunday? Would they know we would? Would they know that we would not be found in a bar on Saturday night? Would they know that we wouldn't be taking God's name in vain? See, this was the basis of their plot. They knew Daniel, and they knew how faithful and dedicated he was to their God, to his God. So that was the basis of their plot. They said, this is the way we're going to get Daniel. This is how we're going to do it. Then we move on. Now we look at the choices that Daniel faced. Verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt on it, down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." So after the king signed the decree, Daniel went ahead and did what he always did. He didn't change anything. He knelt and prayed like he had always done, like he had done yesterday and the day before, as was his custom from early days. He had been doing this not just for a few weeks or a few months, but for years and years and years, he had done exactly the same thing. Same room, same windows, same direction. So the king's decree didn't mean anything to him. He completely ignored it. So there are times when the rulers of the land make laws and decrees that we completely disobey. What Daniel did was totally illegal. Completely illegal. There may be times when we have to do the same thing. So just because the government passes a law or a decree or whatever, doesn't mean that we have to obey it. We do if it doesn't disagree with God's word. But that's what Daniel did. He did something totally illegal. Daniel's choice was, though, he could have compromised. I mean, that was a choice. He could have compromised. He could have just prayed silently. See, he could have hid in his room, not opened his window. He could have prayed silently. No one would have known except God what he was doing. The decree was only for 30 days, so he could have just not worshiped for 30 days and then picked it back up. He could have reasoned that this would be only a small compromise, not a big deal. But Daniel knew that once you start compromising, then the next compromise is even easier, and then the next compromise even easier. We've seen this in the religious world. We've seen this in the Lord's church. One compromise leads to another, which leads to another. Daniel said, I'm not going to compromise even one little bit, not even the tiniest compromise. I'm simply not going to do it. How many Christians today would just sit out for 30 days and wait until the decree was over? So if the decree came from our government saying you cannot worship for 30 days, how many Christians would just not worship for 30 days? Thinking to themselves, it's not a big deal. 30 days, then I can start worshiping again. Not much of a compromise, we would think. You know, it's not easy to take a stand. This is what Daniel was doing. Daniel didn't let the king's decree change his worship in any way. And it's not easy to take a stand against hypocrites, against enemies in the world, against any of those. But we have to take a stand. I mean, that's what we must do. And this next point is just a comment on something in our society. Something that our society wants us to do. Why should God's people be forced to change simply because the wicked do not like what we do? Because that's what our society wants us to do. Wants us to change because they don't like what we're doing. Why should we be forced to change? Why don't they change? Well, now Daniel faces the lions, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you've signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And when the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Tried to think of a way all day long. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it's the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him to the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. What do Daniel's enemies do? They tell on him. If we want to use playground language, that's what they did. They told on him. They tell the king what Daniel had done. It just goes to show that the righteous will always have enemies. Always. Well, the king faced a dilemma. The king could not go on record as changing his mind, because that would set a terrible precedent. So he had to keep the decree. So Daniel's thrown into the den of lions. But he didn't want to throw Daniel into the lion's den. That's what is significant. He didn't want to do it. He liked Daniel. By this point in Daniel's life, the king liked him. Somehow, over the years, Daniel had influenced this emperor of the world. He was the leader of the world empire at the time. Had influenced him to a great degree that he liked Daniel. He was impressed by Daniel. Now we see that the king is tormented. Verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. He was tormented all night long. He could not wait to check on Daniel. Because remember, he had said, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. See, he had faith in Daniel's God. So Daniel had influenced him to a remarkable degree. His hope was that Daniel's God had saved him. Notice verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? See, he was wanting to hear Daniel's voice. He was wanting Daniel to be alive. And of course he is. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. But that's not the end of the story. Notice verse 24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them to the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Now that's a pretty horrific scene. It really is. I think of what Paul wrote in the very last part of Galatians. You're going to reap what you sow. And that's exactly what these men and their families got. Not just the men, but their entire families were basically eaten alive by these lions. They were jealous. They lied. They deceived. And they got what was coming to them. We can learn that while it may appear that the wicked are prospering, their prosperity will not last forever because God is still in control. And then Darius lastly makes a decree. Now he'd already made one decree. Notice the difference in this one. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. He was sending this out to everybody in the entire world. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Now the first decree, remember, was that nobody could petition any god but Darius. Now this decree says everybody is to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he, referring to the God of Daniel, is the living God. And steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. The king knew exactly how Daniel had survived because of Jehovah God. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, who came later. Daniel set a great example of his faith. And his faith influenced this leader of the world. Darius was the leader of the world. This Medo-Persian Empire was the ruling empire in the world. And because of Daniel's steadfast faith, he influenced him to make this decree. So, compromise should never be part of who we are. We must be steadfast. You know, in the days ahead, we're going to need an unwavering trust and faith in Jehovah. Decrees may come from our government. Saying you can't worship anymore. You can't assemble anymore. You can't try and teach others anymore. Like is the case in some countries in the world right now. But we can't compromise. We must, just like Daniel, go right ahead and do what we have always done, as was our custom from early days. Well, we've been gathering and worshiping every Sunday for years and years and years. We're not going to stop. We've been reading God's Word every day for years and years and years. We're not going to stop. We've been preaching against and teaching against the immorality of our world for years and years and years. We're not going to stop. So Daniel tells us we can't stop doing what we've been doing from early days. Regardless of whether we get thrown in the lion's den or not. Because in one way or the other, our God will deliver us. And what a tremendous lesson that is. But He's only going to deliver those who are faithful to Him, who don't compromise their convictions, who are people of integrity. Those in His body who put their trust in Him and obey Him, those are the ones He will ultimately deliver. And that's what we need to be. So this morning, if you need to be one of those, if you need to ask for strength during these times, then we pray and encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.